All right, we have got a fun episode for you guys today. I've got my friend Leanne on the podcast. We have done a bunch of interviews on her page and her podcast and did a panel recently. So I figured I'd put her in the hot seat and see if we can't make her squirm today and learn all about her incredible background that I've learned about offline. Leanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mitch. It's definitely nice to be on the other side of the table, and I love it.
Yeah, the shoe is on the other foot today, so we're going to, like I said, we're going to see if we can make you squirm, and of course, I'm kidding about that. Let's start with the beginning, Leanne. What got you to where you are today?
Well, my background initially was in accounting. I did accounting for like 20 years while I was raising my kids. Good stability, good money. Eventually in my 30s, I transitioned out of accounting into the legal field because I was working at a law firm and I had a paralegal, you know, ask me if I had ever considered being a paralegal because she's like, man, you've got all the skills already. And you'd get to talk to people instead of just being locked behind closed doors all day. And so I went to college in my 30s and got certified and got my degrees and then went into the legal field and did that for 13 years. Always worked in defense work, really enjoyed it right up until the pandemic hit. The firm that I was working for didn't allow us to work from home.
Mm.
They forced us to come in every day. You know, full days, wear a mask. You couldn't be in the kitchen at the same time with anybody. You couldn't be in the coffee room at the same time. You couldn't go out to lunch. You had to carry around, you know, wipes and alcohol wipes and just, you know, just crazy stuff. So it was not only just the fear and the chaos of the world with the pandemic, but I couldn't even escape it because it was now part of my job and having to, you know, go into work and deal with all of that. It was just, it was awful. But you do what you got to do. And, you know, at the same time, we're learning all kinds of new tech for the attorneys so they can communicate with their clients so that they can attend hearings virtual. I mean, it changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the law, if you get assigned a new case or you accept a new case, you don't really have downtime to get familiar with it if it's already active litigation that maybe you got from another law firm. And during the pandemic, a lot of firms were closing down.
Okay.
And so we ended up accepting in a batch of cases. It was like 15 cases. It was all under one umbrella, one client that we were defending. But it was, like I said, it's fast and furious. You've got to be ready. If there's a hearing tomorrow in one of those cases, you need to be ready for that hearing tomorrow. You don't have time to like reach out to the judge and say, man, I haven't even read this briefing. That's not an option. You have to be ready.
What's that look like? Like how big of a, so you get handed a case and you got to be ready to defend it tomorrow? And so what's that like? What's that feel like?
Complete chaos. You know, you've got to read the initial, you know, filing for the case. And some of these cases had been going on for 2 years. Hmm. So you've got to look through everything. Who are the parties? Who are the attorneys? Some of them had, you know, multiple attorneys from different firms defending on different things. Figure out who the judge is, who the judge's clerk is, how they do things, you know, their hearing schedule. Do you have to mail them binders or do you send them everything electronically? I mean, every judge is different. Every client is different. So there's just all these moving parts.
Do you have a team working on that with you? Or is it just you?
Well, usually you have like a senior attorney, an associate attorney, a paralegal, and a legal assistant. So it's usually a team of four.
Mm. Is it like, I mean, I'm thinking of four people going through a case. I think there's a lot of coffee, a lot of sleepless nights, and a lot of pressure to perform and get it right.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, somebody's life, somebody's business depends on you being at your best self all the time.
Ugh. Wow.
lots of pressure, lots of pressure.
So, and, you know, so tell me you're not still doing that now.
Nope. I got out of it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Keep going.
But the big part of it, you know, was I could do it. I was good at it. I could multitask. I was on the top of my game until I wasn't. Mm. So one of the cases ended up being a personal trauma trigger from a trauma that I had in my life from 20 years prior.
Were you aware of it at the time, or did this bring it out?
This brought it out.
Oh.
I had spent 20 years, you know, shoveling it down and denying it and ignoring it, not getting any help, not getting any treatment, just figuring, oh, you know, I used to call that resilience, not denial.
Yeah.
And so when it reared its ugly head, I mean, I knew immediately reading the complaint, it was so close to home that it knocked me out of my seat, knocked the wind out of me. I was like, oh, whoa, this is a problem. Hold on, step back.
So how was it? Sorry to pause. Sorry to interrupt you there. That is such a common thing to have these when you're on this journey. Were you doing the work, or is it just like now you're doing the work?
Now I'm doing the work.
So I'm curious, when you saw that, you know, was it confusing at first? Was there a moment where you're like, oh, that's not me? Did you try to run or get away from it? Or were you like, oh, I know what that is? Like, how did that unfold?
Like I said, you know, I'm reading through this complaint and I'm like, whoa, that's just a little too close to home.
Yeah.
And so I went in and I talked to my boss, who I, had already disclosed my past. I'm always really open with where I work. You figure you spend more time with those people almost more than you do with your partner.
Yeah.
So I had already told him. And so I'm explaining, I was like, man, this case is just a little too close to home. You know, is there a way I can maybe switch with one of the other paralegals? I think it's just going to be this one case out of 15 that's going to be a trigger. And at first he was like, oh, yeah, sure. No problem. We'll figure it out. But pretty quickly it became like, no, we can't do that. You know, we're a small firm. It's all hands on deck. You get what you get. Get over it.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. So
what year is this?
This was 2019.
Okay. Different world. I think now that would be a little bit more acceptable. People are a little bit more trauma informed, but it sounds like he was not down with that.
No, he was not down with that. So, you know, it took a couple of days before it really started to show up in my body. You know, all of a sudden I'm having anxiety that I'd never had, panic that I'd never had, brain fog, memory loss. You know, everything just started showing up at one time. And I literally felt like I was reliving that moment in time that day.
Wow.
Like it was that real to my body.
And you hadn't experienced it in 20 years?
No, not really. You know, I knew it was there, but I wasn't experiencing it in my body. It was more like just in my head and in the back of my head. And periodically, someone would bring up somebody that was part of that past, and that may trigger me. And I would just be like, you know what? I would prefer if we didn't discuss this person.
Yeah, I get it.
But at that point, you know, I was already developing my voice and being able to set boundaries with people.
Mm-hmm.
But in my job, that just wasn't working. You know, I couldn't set boundaries. And so every day was harder and harder. And I'd come home and I'd curl up in a ball and I'd cry for a while. And I couldn't understand where these feelings were coming from. I mean, things like panic and being afraid to leave my house, I had never had before. So I think some of that was the news being on all the time and the world was crazy and there was much more crime and everybody was masked up. And so, you know, if we went to the gas station and I would sit in the car and my husband would go into the gas station, I'd start having panic attacks that something was going to happen inside the gas station. And I was like, what is this? You know, I've never been afraid of my city in my entire life. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And it just progressively got worse and worse. The brain fog was so severe. I could remember somebody's face, but I couldn't remember how I knew them. And these were people I had worked with for like 10 years or 15 years. And it was so bad that like I couldn't introduce people to my husband because I didn't know how to introduce them. And so there was, you know, shame and just all these weird emotions and feelings that came with different parts of it.
Oftentimes when we touch those deeper layers, and a common thing that happens when we start doing the work is that things get worse before they get better. And even on the journey, it's always a good reminder to hear. People are always afraid of going backwards. I'm certainly guilty of that. And it's just these signs are actually good signs. It's just you're moving in the right direction. The body's feeling safe enough to remember and to process. And it sounds like all the emotions, the shame and all these things, the anger, fear, all these things are coming up as that younger consciousness is coming on online or coming back up. Does that resonate with you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So is this not somebody can go get medication and diagnose themselves and which I've been there too. What's your next step? I'm so curious.
Well, before I even got to that point, like, you know, I talked to my husband about it. I was like, I can't keep doing this. This case could go on for another couple of years. I can't keep going into work every day because even looking at the file on my desk would trigger me. Mm-hmm. Cause I knew I was going to have to pick it up and do something with it. And my boss was pushing me harder and harder to be even more involved. Like, oh, okay. I need you to go and pick up the expert from the hotel and I need you to take him to do this IME on this child. And it was the child that was my trauma trigger.
Oh my God.
And I was like, dude, I can't do it. And he's like, you're just driving somebody to the airport, or you're just this, or it's just emotion, or it's just a hearing. I heard the word it's just multiple times every day.
It makes me so mad hearing that.
It was horrible. And he even got to the point of bringing me a bottle of melatonin gummies to work so that I could sleep at night, because I told him I'm not sleeping.
You're crossing a line at that point.
Oh, he crossed many, many, many lines. You know, but like I guilted, you know, I quit once and I guilted myself to go back. All of a sudden I was fighting with the, oh my God, this is the most money I've ever made in my life. I went to college for this. I paid off my student loans. I love what I do. Like, I can't walk away from this. Like, this is who I am. This had become my identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quit once, guilted myself to go back, quit a second time. He guilted me to go back. The third time they found me curled up on the floor in my office. And I was like, that's it. I'm out. Here's my keys. Here's my badge. I'm out.
What's it feel like saying I'm finished?
It was great. That was a huge relief because I knew that I wasn't going to have to continue to touch, feel, see, smell anything that had to do with that case.
I bet your body felt very seen, because I've experienced this recently myself where it's like, It's going like, do, 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 do. Like, hey, this isn't for us anymore. And our body is telling us, get the fuck out. And our logical mind is saying, I went to school. I'm making good money. I like to do this. It's rationalizing. And that is abandoning the part that knows its time. And it's like, it's so easy to get in our head and let the head win. And when you finally said, okay, that's enough. I bet the body, I just feel this like, oh, I feel you like slamming the thing down on the desk and leaving. I bet your body's just like dancing.
Yeah, it was great. And I was really blessed financially with the ability to take a year off to just focus on my health and my mental health. Mm. But But I didn't really know how to do that. I went to my primary care physician. She wrote me a prescription for an antidepressant and sent me on my way. I was like, nope, don't want it. Not taking it. You know, all I wanted was a referral to a therapist. I thought, okay, I need to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And luckily, my husband's company had a health fair. And so we went to the health fair. And at the health fair, there was a therapy office that is literally two blocks from my house. I was like, okay, there's the sign. Let's go to therapy. And I loved my therapist. She was awesome. But I went in and introduced myself, explained my issue. And I said, all I need you to do is I need you to tell me how to shut Pandora's box. I can go back to being me.
I got hit with a red pill and I want to throw this thing up and give it back to you.
That was it. And her response was like, honey, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Your soul signed an agreement and you're in this now, girlfriend.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I knew pretty quickly in that journey was that therapy was just going to continue to hash it out and hash it out and hash it out. You know, she wasn't there to teach me any tools. She just wanted to keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper into my childhood and this and that. And I was like, man, I just want to put that shit away, man. Like, I don't want to keep talking about this. I don't want to stay triggered all the time. I don't like feeling like this.
Yeah.
I want to go back to myself, my light, my happy. Like, can't you help me get there? She wasn't into it.
Did you ever, I had this, especially early on, and doing like what sounds like deep, like analyzation. Correct me if I'm wrong, but my heart, I would be like, I don't want to go. I had to kind of sit with myself at the, my therapist had a long driveway. And as soon as I pulled into that driveway, my heart would start beating really hard. And I had to talk myself off the damn ceiling every time just to walk in. And you're nodding your head like that. That's the same thing. You had the same experience.
Yeah, it was rough. So like, yeah, you're still living in that fear, that anxiety, the, you know, that heightened sense. And I didn't like it. But I, you know, started kind of trying to get myself out of the house so I could get over the anxiety. And I was also researching like each piece of what was going on with my body. Like, okay, what is anxiety? Where does this come from? How can I stop it? Memory loss and brain fog. Like, what causes brain fog? You know, so just learning and educating myself was powerful in itself, because then I was starting to get answers and learning more about myself that wasn't necessarily digging into my childhood, but understanding what my body was doing.
Yes.
You know, like brain fog. I'm like, okay, so what can I do to help my brain? And, you know, in the research, one of the things was like, oh, you need to make sure you're taking omegas. Well, I'd never been real big on taking supplements and I don't eat fish. So at that point, I realized that I had been starving my poor brain its entire life and not giving it omegas that it needed because I don't eat fish. I don't like it. Oh, I don't want to swallow. Huh?
Swim nuts.
Yeah. But I don't think not enough, you know.
You're right. Yeah. There's algae that comes to mind. There's nuts. But yeah, I hear you on that. So did you start eating fish?
I started taking omegas.
Okay. Is that fish oil? Did you take fish oil? Or did you take another form?
Fish oil and krill oil.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Fish is a hard limit. Don't do fish. Blah. No. But it was like this journey just to understand these different parts of me that were what I felt like was out of balance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I had went to go see a friend of mine who was an artist. At an artist pop-up event. And the lady who was hosting the event was an herbalist and hypnotherapist. And it was like in the parking lot of her office. And so I went to see my friend and she's like, hey, let me take you inside and introduce you to this lady because I really think she can help you.
Huh.
I'm like, great. And as soon as I walked into her space, I felt that sense of call.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow, just the space itself brought me calm. And then meeting her and having her, you know, see me, hear me. And she's like, okay, let's start here. Like, I'm an herbalist. Let me talk to you about these different tea mixes that I have. Start drinking some of this tea and let's see if we can't calm your nervous system. She says, right now, like, your hair's on fire, your skin's on fire. You know, we need to do something to start calming you down. All right, great. I love tea. Like, I could drink tea all the time. And so we started there and just slowly seeing little improvements. I was like, okay, this is working. I'm feeling more calm. I threw myself into learning about meditation and developing a meditation practice. I'd never meditated a day in my life. Didn't even think I could. But I found somebody that I could follow that could guide me. And I found, man, I love this. Like, I love this calm. I love the silence. I love the peace. And I started acknowledging to myself in gratitude, like thanking my body for holding me in space while I could take an adventure in my mind. And I wouldn't fall over, and I would, you know, I could sit there and my body would just hold me. I was like, wow. So it was like this sense of safety.
Oh, yeah.
I felt safe in my home. I felt safe in my space. I felt safe in my body.
And I imagine that's probably for the first time in your life, if I had to guess. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I get it. Learning safety as an adult is like learning a new language. And it feels like you kind of breezed right through it. Is it as easy as it sounds?
It was for me, miraculously enough. Like, I can't even explain how easily it came to me.
Well, you got so many good things here. You've got someone that you can trust. You're talking to yourself really nice. So that's compassion. That's repairing attachment wounds. You've got somebody that's seeing you and hearing me. That's like lifeblood for someone who's never been seen or heard. And you've got a resource in the tea. It's something that you can turn to help you calm down, and a new meditation practice. So got a lot of things there that are contributing to this quickness of safety is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I was blessed. I didn't have to worry about finding a job right away or be stressed out about that. Because even at one point, I have this like favorite coffee house, which is a block away from my house. And I had developed this really good relationship with the owner of the coffee house. In fact, she was like one of the people that was like, you need to get out of your job. Like, if I need to go stand behind your car so you can't back out and go to work, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
And so after a while, she was like, hey, you know, I need to hire somebody. You know, what would you think of, you know, coming in and work? You're here all the time anyway, you know, come in and work for me. I was like, man, that'd be great. Until I sat down at the computer and started pulling up my resume and automatically started having anxiety again. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm still having brain fog. How am I going to remember what goes into what? There's thousands of coffee things and tea things, and you have to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and from 5 to 9, you're by yourself, doors unlocked, people coming in wearing masks. Nope, not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I just reached out and let her know and told her what I was going through. And I was just like, I'm just not ready. Like, I've still got some things I need to work on. And my safety is the biggest one of those. And I just not going to put myself in an unsafe space. Because again, that goes back to that. I felt like I was abandoning myself by trying to force myself to do something that I wasn't ready to do.
Yeah, that's the turning point I hear in this story, is finally listening to you.
Yeah.
And what you're describing sounds like, have you ever heard the word sensitization?
Mm-hmm.
That's what sounds like is going on. Agoraphobia, afraid to leave the house. I've been through sensitization. I help clients that are going through that now myself. And it's basically a combination of hypervigilance. Seeing the world is a really scary place. Makes perfect sense. after having a core trauma come out. Now everything's a threat. I don't want to leave my house. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and I'm trying to fix it. We fix it by avoiding. Our world becomes very small, and there's going to be a period of time of building safety and kind of teaching our body that it's safe to be. And I think it's really awesome that as you were healing, the universe will kind of test us sometimes and say, like, you sure? You know? And it's like, hey, Leanne, come do this job, and it sounds awesome. But it sounds like your capacity for being in that experience wasn't quite there. And it's really easy for us to go back to your old pattern of ignoring that. I have all these reasons why this would be a good experience for me. But my body says no. And that is, you know, I teach my clients from the beginning, we don't know how to listen to our body. I start with the hell yeses and the hard nos. And it sounds like that's kind of the process that you were going through to come out of this freeze that is sensitization.
So cool.
Yeah. And that's what it was. It was just learning to listen to myself, trust myself. You know, again, having a supportive partner who wasn't like pushing me to get a job, go back to work. We need the money. You know, it was just like, no, you need time to heal. And he saw my reaction as soon as I sat down at the computer. He's like, okay, we're good. You're not ready for this. No matter how much you like that place, you're not ready for this, you know, so just let her know and move on. And so it was so nice to have that support and the ability to just find what worked for me. Tried all different kinds of, you know, fun modalities, art therapy. I would do some rope therapy. So I would, you know, tie myself in rope, and that rope would give me that sense of security. It would feel like a hug on my body. And I was like, okay, and I could make it pretty or I can make it messy. And it really didn't matter. It was the feeling that it provided. And, you know, I could sit and watch cartoons and color in a coloring book and just remember the little things that were joy in my jacked up childhood. Lots of grounding. You know, I could spend all day outside barefoot in my grass, in my flower bed, walking, going to the park, being in, you know, in my community. And so just trying different things. And over time, you know, the memory loss got better. The brain fog moved away. I was starting to feel confident in myself again. And so, you know, it was just like I wasn't pushing myself to get better, but I was feeling the improvements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got so many nice modalities around you to build safety and come out of the sensitization. And who would freaking think that giving a human a safe place, teaching them to listen to their body, connect with nature and earth, connect with their body through containment. That's what it sounds like you're doing with the rope. Wow, that sounds like healing. It's so crazy to me that we feel like this world, this industry of wellness is flooded with solutions and pills and quick fixes and diets and all the stuff, man. And you can just go down the rabbit hole. I mean, here's this, for those that are watching, I've got this thing that I love to show. It's the healing web. And you can get stuck in that thing, man. I mean, that's literally what's going on here. But man, going with, hey, let's trust our body. You don't have to go through that is what I'm trying to say, is because your nervous system is the map and your body will be the guide, your body, your nervous system, your brain. But we get so stuck listening to all this because when we have trauma, we don't know how to listen to ourselves. But what Leanne's demonstrating here is feeling the uncomfortable, feeling the yeses and the nos and going from there and giving and responding to it. Instead of like what somebody else tells her what to do, she listened to herself and she's able to come out of a sensitized nervous system. We could call that global high, deep functional, not even functional, probably deep freeze. And I think as a society, we're all waking up to this stuff. And I really appreciate hearing the journey. It's so helpful for those of us that are, you know, just trying to find the next step.
Yeah. You know, it was a great journey. I learned so much about myself. And I learned the people that I could trust. Like my herbalist at the time was getting certified as a hypnotherapist. And by the time she was certified, we had developed such a trust relationship that I was like, okay, there is some things I need to work on that I need a guide. I know I can't do this by myself. My two big ones were forgiveness and letting go.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's real easy. I mean, I feel like those are two big ones that we all go through.
And so, you know, I trusted her to guide me through those in a more hypnotic state.
Okay.
And because I had already developed a meditation habit, going into a nice, calm state for her to guide me was easy. It was like, oh, man, I get to lay down, lights out with a warm blanket, and you're just going to guide me through this journey? Great. Yeah, let's do that.
When I just had, I think we talked about this before, hopping on the call, is this morning I was learning about dreams and how if we have, dreams are so powerful in the healing journey, they can reveal what we're not quite ready to process. You know, I think before the call, we were talking about terror. So we may not really want to feel that in our conscious life. And in the dream, we may have crazy dreams and, all of these things kind of coming back online. But it's so funny too. I just met a hypnotherapist recently as well. Have some kind of negative experience with hypnotherapists in the past, but I'm curious, how is that different than a dream? And then also, how's it different than like conscious awareness? Like, were you processing stuff in that hypnotic state?
I want to think so. You know,
that's what it's like, because maybe I'm not quite asking the right question. It feels like.
Okay. So for my hypnotherapy session, like I said, you're in, you know, lights low, nice and warm, all cozy, you know, cozy. And I trusted her and, you know, I let her guide me through. So it was like a simple, you know, count from 10 down to 1, get me into a real easy, calm state where I could just relax and listen to her. And then she gave me, like, before we even started the session, we had a meeting before. And so she had specific questions that she needed me to answer, like, am I claustrophobic? Is my happy space sitting on the beach at an ocean, or is my happy space up in the mountains? Where do I feel safe? Where do I feel happy? Where do I feel unsafe? You know, and so given those answers, she had specific scripts basically to use to guide me through this journey. And so for letting go, for me, I felt like I had been carrying this huge backpack of bricks of bullshit my entire life and had never been able to set it down. And so if somebody would mention my ex-husband, I would get triggered and get, you know, just like, can you just not freaking do that? Like, I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to talk about him. I don't give a shit what's going on in his life, but it would trigger me. And so I was like, I need to get to a place where I can run into somebody that I haven't seen in 5 years and they can ask me, like, so how's your ex doing? Do you ever talk to your ex? And not have it trigger me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I went in for. I said, I need help with this. Like, I need to not be triggered every time this comes up in conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, she guided me through this journey. So it was a visualization, which I had already really enjoyed doing visualizations through meditation. So she would tell me, you know, okay, like, do you see this door? What color's the door? Okay, now we're going to walk over and we're going to open the door. And on the other side of the door, you're going to see a staircase.
Yeah.
So for me, because my happy place was in the mountains, it was a staircase that was more like a trail climbing up a mountainside.
That makes sense.
And so then I get to the top of the mountain and I have this backpack of bricks And we walk to the edge of the mountain, and it's a cliff, and it overlooks the ocean or water of some sort. And she says, okay, I want you to take that backpack off your back. And I want you to chuck it off the edge and watch it disappear into the water. When you can't see it anymore, turn around and we're going to come back.
I got so many. I visualized that as you were doing it, and I got chills all over my body.
It was more powerful than I could have ever imagined. You know, and so when you get done with the meditation and she walks, you guides you back through, back down the staircase, back through the door, close the door, counts you back out. We talk about, you know, what I felt, what I experienced, what I saw. And then part of her work is like, okay, you know, I want you to go home and journal about this while it's fresh in your mind. You know, write it down, because you're not going to remember it. Like in a couple of days, this is just going to, you know, be another thought. It's going to disappear pretty quickly. So I want you to journal it. And so I would do that. And she would also like check in on me in a couple of days. Like, how are you doing? How do you think that went? How do you think it worked for you? And it was pretty quick that I could then have somebody mention my ex and it absolutely not trigger me anymore.
What was the first time you recognized that you were hearing about your ex and you weren't triggered? What was that like?
Okay, this is a great story. So I had just leased my office space for my coaching practice. And it was in a building that had multiple businesses within it. So there was like a motor vehicle and a CPA and a nail salon and just all different kinds. But in the center of the building was this amazing atrium that was two stories high and just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still setting up my office, and a friend had offered to go shopping with me, and we had went to a fabric store to buy some fabric because I was wanting to do a backdrop and to start my podcast. And so we go shopping, we come back, I drop her off at home, and I pull into my parking lot, and I see my ex-husband's truck parked in the parking lot.
Great story.
And yeah, just immediately went into panic mode, thinking, oh shit, he's found me, because he hasn't known where I live, hasn't, you know, nothing. But I'm thinking, okay, you know, I was the person that put my name on that window. So I'm thinking, all right, he found me, he's in there, he's going to be in there waiting for me. And he was a psycho, you know, he had gotten really violent and aggressive and had pulled a gun on our son. So I didn't feel safe. And so I'm like, screw this, spun around out of the parking lot, started driving home, pulled over, called my husband, let him know what was going on. I said, I'm going home. Like, I'm not even going to go into work today. I'm just going to go home. I could, you know, I'm like, the anxiety's going to hit. I'd rather have it hit at home. So I get home. I come in. I lock the door. I sit down on the couch. No anxiety. And I'm like, looking around, like, why is this not coming up? Why am I not feeling anxious? Why am I not having a panic attack? And I'm like, well, it's because I'm in my safe space. I'm home.
You reckon?
Door's locked. He's not outside beating on the door. Like, I'm in my safe space. He doesn't even know where I live. I'm okay.
Hmm.
And after a little while, I was like, you know what? Shit, I got work to do. I've got work to do. I'm going back to work. Text my husband, said, you know what? I'm going back to work. Pulled into the parking lot. His truck was gone. And in that moment, when I got into my office, shut my door, locked my door. It was nice because we had dead bolts on our door. I was like, you know, he could have been here for a number of reasons. He could have been here going to see MVD. He could have been here meeting with the CPA. He could have been here for so many other reasons that didn't even involve me. Oh, all right. And that's where I really started to feel that those triggers just weren't happening anymore.
What's the takeaway from that? What did you learn?
I think to ask myself those questions, like, is this real? Because, you know, I was starting to listen to Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, where he walks you through that, you know, is this really real? Is this happening to you? Is he outside your door? Mm-hmm. Is he, you know, in your office? Is he waiting for you? Or is this just my brain trying to keep me safe?
There you go. That's great.
So great. Yeah, I learned how to ask those questions.
It reminds me of Byron Katie's work. You familiar with her?
I don't think so.
It's like self-inquiry. It's like if we get to our brain, you're right, is always trying to keep us safe, and it creates stories, and it has us avoid certain areas or certain things. So like, and this came in really handy whenever we, you know, we're primitive and we didn't want to go to this side of the woods because the bear would eat us. And so now our brain is putting off a response that says, don't go there. And so we can continue to listen to the voice in our head and the story, or we can question them. It's like, the first question is this true? And you may say, yeah, I think it's true. And you go, all right, can I say without a doubt, this is 100% true? It's like, I can't say without a doubt. And so now I got a little bit of space. And so then you would question the belief. You say, like, how does it feel in my body to continue to believe? And she's like, ugh. You know, and it's like, well, what would it feel like if I could bring in some trust and some safety here and see past this? And it's like, And that's just like a little process that people can use when they're feeling a little stuck.
Yeah. And so just learning that I had that control within me. I had those tools, those techniques, those modalities, you know, made all the difference in the world. And so once I knew how powerful that was, when I was ready to go into the next thing, of course, forgiveness, I knew exactly who to go to. I knew what to expect.
What do you mean that you what to expect? Like, what did you learn that you're expecting? I'm curious about that.
About the session itself, like what's going to happen in a hypnotherapy session.
Okay.
Gotcha. So having experienced it once, I was like, okay, I know what this is going to be like. I'm going to go in, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk, she's going to do her thing, I'm going to lay down, she's going to guide me through whatever, then I'm going to come home and I'm going to journal. So it was like, I knew what to expect. I didn't necessarily know what the outcome was going to be of the session, but I knew what to expect. So again, that gave me that level of safety and trust, and I could relax into it and let her do her work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's like, yeah, there's more safety on board and certainty with the experience and trust with the individual and yourself. How'd it go?
Huh?
How'd it go?
Yeah, it was amazing. I loved it. You know, it was so powerful. And I only used it for those like really deep things that I didn't feel like I could get there myself. You know, like doing meditation and trying to do like inner child work and sitting with my 5-year-old self and telling her, you know, I love you, you're safe, I got your back. She's not here, she's not going to hurt you. That took me to a place where I had never experienced, in like, I hit anguish.
What is anguish?
Oh my God.
Like,
it is that deep soul to where you cry like it's coming from your toes. Every emotion in your body is all focused, and it just needs to release. And for me, that was tears. It was like, you know, maybe losing somebody Like if you had lost a parent that you were really close to and you just needed to cry that out, needed to feel it, needed to experience it.
Is it like hopeless helplessness kind of? Or even worse, like deeper, sounds like grief, but it's a deep flavor.
Deep soul-sucking darkness grief.
You know? That's the kind we want to get out. That's good stuff.
Yeah, and so being able to do that, but knowing that I probably would have been better if I had done that with some guidance.
Are you on board? You did this on your own or you did this with the hypnotherapist?
I did that one on my own through a visualization meditation and I didn't like it.
Now, what was different in you doing it versus the being led?
I think for me, the difference was coming out of it and being completely alone in my space, even though I was alone in my safe space. I didn't have anyone for like aftercare to kind of check up on me, touch base with me. How was that? Oh, well, here's maybe another tool to help you, you know, complete the cycle.
Everything's raw and open and you're vulnerable and you need someone to like hold space. And so we can certainly do that for ourselves. And that's a very advanced thing. And yet still, even if we are advanced, it's like whenever I did one-on-one work with Seth Lyon, Irene's husband in person before that, I was like, oh yeah, I want to do this online like forever. And seeing how powerful it was to like just have somebody there to give you a hug afterwards and kind of go like, yeah, dude, this is normal. And that's normal. And this is what's going to kind of happen next.
That's so huge.
Yeah, that's like next level, which was what I knew I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, so I know when I'm going to do this really deep shit, I need to do it with a friend.
Yeah. And that's a great thing for the audience is like so much of this work can be done at home. And it's amazing that we have all these courses. And yet still, there's big chunks of this work that we cannot do on our own. And we really need support with co-regulation, holding space. I'd even say grounding afterwards. You know, whenever you remove a beach ball or that's more of an Irene thing. But like when you pull out the foundation of your home, you know, that's got to settle. And that's going to be, you really can use some words of encouragement, a container to be in that help us feel safe during that. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And so, you know, after a year of really learning all these different modalities and starting to feel the improvements within myself, the mental clarity returning, my confidence returning, knowing that I have these tools on board that I can pull when I need, then I was like, okay, now, you know, I really need to consider what am I going to do going forward? I mean, yeah, sure, I'd love to not have to work, but that's not an option. But what is an option? Do I want to return back to the law? Oh, hell no. Do I want to go back to accounting? Nope, don't want to do that either. I left that part of my life behind for a reason. So what do I want to do? And, you know, what was called to me was sharing all these wonderful tools and my experience and what I had been through and what's on the other side and the possibilities and, you know, from the darkness to the light, I wanted to share it all. And so, of course, you know, I'm scrolling through Facebook and it came up on how to get certified to be a health and life coach. And at first, you know, I immediately, my brain went to that safe space and was like, oh no, you're not ready for this. And, you know, how are you going to remember an anatomy and nutrition? And, you know, because you have all this brain fog. And then I was like, well, I really don't have the brain fog as much. And I've done this before. Like I went to college in my 30s. Like I can do this again. Just because I'm 50 doesn't, it's just going to be a little harder maybe, but, or maybe it's not, because now I'm not trying to do it with two kids in tow. It's just me. And so, you know, I did listen to my brain a lot. I'm like, no, you can do this. Like, you are capable. You can do this. And so I enrolled in school and absolutely loved it. You know, every day I felt better. I was learning more. I was getting to, you know, coach and be coached and getting to learn from those experiences. And it was just such an amazing change. And knowing that, you know, as a coach, one of my options. To, you know, help guide someone and or help them see what's possible when they're still in that spot where they don't see any possibility or they don't see their future. And so I was like, okay, so I'm 50 and I went back to school. And tools. I'm not an old dog that can't learn new tricks. I want to keep learning and growing, and I can. And so just being able to work with people and share that information and show them the
All right, so this is Mitch again. For those of us that are listening, I had a little technical difficulties, and Leanne was basically talking about her pain to purpose story and how she overcame anxiety and agoraphobia, not wanting to leave the house, and then got to the point where she actively was working with this stuff and then is now helping other people. So I just want to let Leanne continue that story. Leanne, tell us about where you're at now, how you're helping people, and where we can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Mitch. You know, as far as coaching, I have picked my niche of working with Gen X women. So, you know, 35 plus who have spent their entire life taking care of everyone else, their children, their husbands, their parents, their bosses, you know, and didn't take care of themselves, because that was where I was. You know, I had spent my whole life taking care of everybody. And then all of a sudden I hit the wall and realized I hadn't been taking care of myself. I should have, you know, started doing this work earlier, started going to therapy or whatever. And so at one point I realized that I had lost my identity. Like, my identity was wrapped up in my kids and my husband and in my career. And so now I was at a different phase in life. I was divorced after getting out of a 20-year marriage. My kids were grown and doing their own things and outlifing. I had quit my job and now I was, you know, starting over basically. But I was starting over with so much knowledge and experience and new knowledge. And the ability to work with other people to show them, you know, that there's that path. Not now I get to choose a career that's a passion and a purpose, not just an obligation to bring home a good paycheck and good benefits. I get to show up every day and do what I love, which is helping people. Part of that, too, alongside of my coaching practice was launching my own podcast, which we talked about in the beginning, having you on my podcast. My podcast is Happiness on Tap. And when I started developing my podcast, I had the two focuses of being an entrepreneur and learning what that was and how to have my own business. And the focus and the passion that I had of wanting to bring on all of these healers and helpers, so that I could spotlight what they were doing in this world outside of my local community. So, you know, my herbalist and hypnotherapist really was only focused on our local community. She didn't even have a website, wasn't even advertising herself outside of our local community. So I wanted to be that person. Like, I want to share what you do with more people because you impacted my life so greatly. that I want people to understand what is hypnotherapy, what you can do through herbs, and what's available to them, because nobody told me these things. I didn't know these modalities even existed. They weren't in my world. My world was BMX with my son and whatever my daughter was into and whatever my husband was into, commuting 2 hours a day to go to work. So I didn't know about these modalities. So I felt like that was my purpose, was to share these people with others. And it has just grown and blossomed, and I couldn't be happier about the work that I get to do, having people like you on my podcast, creating the panel, getting all of you experts together to talk about somatic work, because that was another great modality that I knew nothing about until I got the opportunity to experience it. And so, again, I just want to keep sharing these things with the world. And you couldn't ask for a better platform than a podcast to do that.
I totally agree. And I love the thing I wrote down, a pain to purpose to passion. Who would have thought that a breakdown leads to a breakthrough for someone who's lived in survival mode a lot of their life and got a chance. Well, I shouldn't say that. Basically got a wake-up call halfway through their life and decided to move towards that and to heal that instead of the conventional route of put a Band-Aid on it, run as far away as you can from it. And then turning that learning, you know, something I wrote down too is I didn't know. And that was me too. I resonate with that so much. You know, there's so many things that we don't come into this world with an operator's manual, and we got to figure shit out. And I really respect people too that are willing to take that journey and will stare what's normal in the face and then do the opposite. Because I think that takes a lot of balls, a lot of guts. And these type of stories are what keeps people putting one foot in front of the other to stay in it, to have hope that they can get better. Even when we're so terrified that we don't know how we're going to leave our house. And so thank you so much for demonstrating that and sharing your journey with us. I know it's going to help a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Rich.
And we'll get you back we're going to do a little teaser for round two. We'll get you back next time. Leanne didn't talk about her. She talked about Happiness on Tap, but she's also got a kink podcast. And I think it's really cool. Story, I'm not going to spill the beans, but that will definitely be, check that out. Make sure, plug that really quickly in, and then we'll certainly come back and talk about that next time.
Sure. So for my original coaching practice, people can find me at findingresiliencewithleanne.com. Like I said, I primarily coach women, but I'm always open to coach anyone. And so I have the Happiness on Tap podcast, and then I also work with people in alternative lifestyles. So I have a separate website, a separate coaching practice, and a separate podcast, all called Kink Your Way. And so I work with people who are either curious about what is kink and BDSM, or people who are already living the lifestyle and practicing that kind of lifestyle, or other alternative lifestyles like polyamory, you know. So I have all different kinds of information and education on that, and I look forward to having that conversation with you in the future.
Woohoo! Leanne, thank you again for coming on. It's been such a fun conversation, and one of many, I assume. Any closing advice for the audience before we hop off?
I would say just for people to not continue to ignore, deny, and not listen to what our body is telling us. It's okay that our brain has been keeping us safe all this time, but if we don't start listening to our body and working through and listening to those things, that's really what leads people to chronic illness.
Yeah.
is not treating it, not listening to it. Allowing the quick fixes that doctors are out there to do. You know, they're just going to give you a prescription for your RA or your anxiety, but they're not going to take the time to help you work through those things. And if you keep living in that heightened state of fear or fight, flight, freeze, eventually you create disease. Mm-hmm. And I know that's one of your things is, you know, helping people avoid creating that disease in our body.
Amen. Absolutely. I really appreciate you sharing that. It is so important that we listen to our bodies because, like Irene always says, you know, and this is something I stand behind and I see every day, is you're the medicine. You are the medicine that you're craving, the help that you want, the rescue, the Superman that swoops in. It's you. You get to give yourself that. And the quicker we can learn that, the better. And I think the world will be a whole lot better place because of it. So, Leanne, thanks again for coming on. This was a great episode, and I'm sure I will talk to you again soon.
Thanks again, Mitch.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.